to a new arena out in Nassau County. They've played a number of games in their traditional arena, the Nassau Coliseum, which can only be described as a rat hole these days. It's not a particularly nice place to watch a game anymore. I've been there a couple of times, and it's an arena that had been around since the 70s and was outdated. And as you may know from watching hockey on TV, you get some really modern-looking arenas like the brand-new one out in Las Vegas. Beautiful arena. They really put on a show both before the game, during the game, and after the game. But the Islanders are a tough team. They're not really ready to concede this series, and it looks like it's do or die tonight for them. I'd watch Jordan Eberle. He's wears number 7. He's not their captain, but he has a neat way of battling through to get into the slot in front of the net and fire the puck on the goalie. Meanwhile, we also have something else coming on this weekend that I don't know a whole lot about, and that's the Kentucky Derby. I really don't follow the horses, and my late father used to joke that he liked to follow the horses. If you're going to follow the horses, you should follow them with a shovel. A little crude, perhaps, but kind of funny if you knew my dad. Not a sports fan, but for some reason, he and my mom always managed to watch the Kentucky Derby because my mom would make mint juleps, and it was kind of fun. I don't know much about horse racing. I know that the favorite is a horse by the name of Omaha Beach who has been scratched. There's a serious problem when you race on mud, but there's an interesting guide in the New York Post today. I always like to take a look at it. It's colorful. The Kentucky Derby is usually going to run Saturday nights. Post time is 6:50, but there's a real tradition around it. Everybody sings songs. People dress up for the race. And it's the 145th running of the Kentucky Derby, so that's a very exciting national event. It's the Super Bowl of horse racing. There's also the Belmont Stakes, and I think there's one other horse race on top of that. But the Kentucky Derby itself seems to be the kind of race that people watch, even if they don't like horse racing. And as you know, folks, here in Hunterdon, we have many, many equestrian businesses. We have people who love horseback riding and love horses. We have people who are in the business of training horses and teaching people how to ride. Plenty of excellent riding trails. Near my house, which is out by the Clover Hill Church, a lot of people ride up and down Linvale Road on their horses. And I have a neighbor who has 6 horses. He and his wife are interesting people. They're both scientists. They have a very nice mini farm, for lack of a better word. And I remember my one of my wife's cats, not mine, my wife's cats, like to go into the barn and let the horses chase her around out in the field. She would basically annoy them. So I would say to you that when you, if you're someone who loves horses, if you're somebody who is really interested in learning, we have literally dozens of horse training and equine or equestrian facilities here in Hunterdon, and it's a wise thing to try to take advantage of them. Anybody who needs more information can certainly give the chamber a call. We have a number of farms out there who would like to hear from you. And we've had some guests on the show who've used horses to help train people with serious physical, mental, or emotional problems. We've also seen other businesses out here in Hunterdon County that have used horses to help people understand how to function better in their businesses with teamwork and things like that. Moving along from the Kentucky Derby, we have an interesting baseball lineup coming up pretty soon. We have the Yankees hosting the Minnesota Twins at Yankee Stadium tonight. And the Yankees are beginning to get back some of their injured players. The schedule is about to get tougher for the Bronx Bombers, who sported no fewer than 13 injured players as of earlier this week. The first couple of steps in the dugout didn't go real well. The Yankees now have to prove that they can handle teams that actually have winning records. They were 6-3 on a road trip out to the West Coast in Arizona, but they lost all three games to Arizona, the Arizona Diamondbacks, who of course play in the National League, are a good team. The Twins, after struggling to start the season, are now starting to look like a good team. Minnesota is definitely a team worth watching. The Yanks are going to be playing the Twins, and then the Mariners, and then the Rays over the next 10-game stretch. So right now the Yanks have put together an 11-4 record so far, but let's see whether the replacements come back. C.C. Sabathia was the first guy back from the injured reserve list, and Gary Sanchez followed right after. Meanwhile, Miguel Andujar is rehabbing, and he played his third minor league game last night. Aaron Hicks has been participating in extended spring training games down in Florida. Giancarlo Stanton, after spending some time in Southern California, is scheduled to rejoin the Yankees tonight to continue rehabbing, but it's not likely that anyone knows when he's going to be coming back to playing baseball. D.D. Gregorius, an excellent Yankee shortstop, and oddly enough, one of the few ball players from the Netherlands, is not expected back until late July or early August. And as you know, the Yankees picked up Troy Tulowitz from Toronto and hope to see him replace Gregorius, but unfortunately he too became injured in game 10 of this season, and what's happened is a young man has stepped up to play in his place, which is a good thing. Dylan Betances, an excellent middle relief pitcher, is down for the count. Aaron Judge just got hurt, and Luis Severino, the Yankee ace, is also further away, so nobody really knows what's going to happen with replacements, although Gio or Rochella, utility infielder that they brought up from Scranton, has played very well, and it looks like his glove is as good as was expected, and he's surprised everybody with how he's hit. The really neat thing about this guy is they picked him up from the Blue Jays last August and didn't protect him on the 40-man roster during the season. The Yanks really liked his defense at third base and were curious whether he could build some value by moving around the infield. And as Brian Cashman said, we thought he had some gas in the tank when it came to hitting. Basically, he's now hit 225 in three seasons with the Indians and the Jays, which is nothing to write home about. This year in AAA, his bat really produced, and then early in spring training, Aaron Boone pulled Cashman aside and said, "The offensive stuff this guy's showing us might just be for real." So he's worth watching. He's a young guy, and he just might stick with the big club and make it hard for Cashman and Aaron Boone to decide what to do with him. But the real difference here is, you know, you see this. He's not someone who they thought had great footwork as an infielder, but made up for it with his arm, and he's now making up for it with his bat. They brought him up on April 6th, and he's become pretty important to the Yankees as they plow through this series of devastating injuries from one player after another. He's played really good defense on 22 games and 70 plate appearances. He's honored Aaron Boone's assessment because he's been hitting .339, and he's got a .900 on-base percentage, which is very, very exciting to see. This is not just a flash in the pan kind of guy, because he's been hitting good line drives a lot, and he's been getting real velocity on them. So he's ripping the ball around the field, and he seems to be able to spray hits to all fields. He's been compared by some to Scott Brosius, who was a third baseman. It may not necessarily be apples to apples or oranges to oranges, because in 96, Brosius had hit 304, 24 home runs, but in 97, his average dove, it really nosedived at 203. And the Oakland A's were anxious to really see the last of him, and they traded him to the Yanks for Kenny Rogers. The Yanks saw Brosius rather as a defense-first third baseman who they could move around the infield and see him play some other things. But Brosius played really well defensively in 98, and he hit to a level that wasn't expected and actually became an all-star and helped them win the World Series, where he was the MVP in 99. So the Yankees suddenly were trading their third baseman of the future, Mike Lowell, and they kept Scott Brosius around. And Lowell made it to AAA, but Brosius was a hard guy to replace. And the Yanks didn't want to move or tamper with what had turned into a very successful trade for them after they let Kenny Rogers go back to the A's. Urshela may not be another Scott Brosius, but he's not going anywhere right now, and he's fun to watch. So, folks, keep an eye on third base tonight if you watch the Yankee game, because you're going to see some very interesting play, especially watch the guy's arm and watch his footwork. His footwork isn't the greatest, but he seems to have picked up on the smarts of playing a hitter. And he has tremendous arm strength, and it's interesting how he makes the ball sail. When he makes a throw to from third to first, and he's able to throw off his front foot, the ball has a way of rising once it gets past the mound on the way to first base. And some of that is the physics of the rotation of the ball and the as it travels through the air. You know, the seams on the ball will create a little bit of lift, just like an airplane wing. But it's interesting how hard he throws and how accurate his throws have been. So he's somebody to watch. At the plate, he has an interesting stance. He tends to stand with his feet a little closer together than I would have thought was possible. And as the ball begins to be about three-quarters of the way to the plate, suddenly his whole body language changes, and he's very aggressive about swinging through the ball. So something to watch. I like watching his swing. I'm kind of intrigued by how well he has been playing. Meanwhile, while he's going to be the regular third baseman, while Andujar is back from rehab, it may be that Andujar pinch hits or DHs or shares first base duties with Luke Vogt, who, as you know, stepped up and replaced Greg Bird when he kept getting injured. The Yanks are going to have some problems when Giancarlo Stanton comes back, trying to figure out where to stick him in a lineup. And Andujar still has the option to go down to the minors, so it's going to be interesting, and I would have laughed if you had said that the Yankee corners would have been Luke Vogt and Urshela a year ago, but right now it looks like they're going to be doing pretty well. The interesting thing also tonight is that the Yanks have James Paxton going against Kyle Gibson for the Twins. Paxton's a left-hander. He's 3-2 with a 3.38 earned run average. And Gibson is 2-0 with a 4.86 earned run average. Twins have not scored a lot of runs for him, but he's managed to win both games. Saturday, it's a 1:05 start with J.A. Happ going against Jake Odorizzi. Love that name. And Sunday at 1 o'clock, we have another rookie going against a former Yankee. We've got Domingo German, who's played real well at Scranton. He's now 5-1 up here in the bigs with a 2.56 earned run average, going against former Yankee pitcher Michael Pineda, who's 2-2 with a 6.21 average. All the games are going to be on the YES Network and the WFAN Network, which is 660 on the AM band, and looks like 101.1 102.1 on the FM band. Can't quite see that. I'm not sure why. Moving along, though, the other guy to watch is Gleyber Torres, because even though he is the replacement for Troy Tulowitzki, who's a replacement for D.D. Gregorius, his bat is speaking rather loudly and probably a little bit better than his fielding. Gleyber Torres was a good minor league shortstop. They've looked at putting him at second base because his footwork is not as smooth at short as it is at second, but he's got a good arm, and he can hit, and he's been helping the Yankees score some runs despite the fact that he has limited range. He makes the routine plays. He's got good hands. And his arm is making up for the fact that he's not quick and he has limited range. He's played in all 30 games so far and started 29 of them. And as the scouting on him says, feet aren't great, but he stays back and he relies on his arm strength. He's only had three errors, all at short, none at second. So the Yanks are looking to him to do well. Meanwhile, the last eight games, he's been 11 for 30, which is a .367 average. He's got a homer. He's hit six RBIs, and he's got an on-base percentage that's really pretty good. And, you know, for the season, he's hitting .371. So this is a guy who probably is going to end up at second base for a while with Tyler Wade, another rookie, to help give him a break when he needs it. It's interesting how we're seeing different Yankees in the farm system stepping up. Much like in the Eagles Super Bowl year, we saw different Philadelphia Eagles go down and some of the younger guys stepping up as well. We're coming up on our first commercial break, so let me hit that money button for you folks because it's time to make sure that that happens.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Well, folks, you already know about today's weather because it's already happened. Slight chance of showers, mostly cloudy. Tonight, showers and thunderstorms are likely, and we're going to see a low around 55, light east wind with a chance of precipitation of 70%. New rainfall between a tenth and a quarter of an inch, except higher amounts possible if we get some thunderstorms. Tomorrow, there's just a chance of showers, mainly after 1 o'clock. It's going to be mostly cloudy. It's going to be 73 degrees, they say. Light variable wind becoming northerly around 6 miles an hour in the morning. Chance of rain is 30%, and new rain less than 1/10 of an inch possible. Saturday night, we're going to see some showers after 7 o'clock with a low of around 55, a northeast wind. With a chance of rain is 90% Saturday night, so get that raincoat out if you're going out. New precipitation between a quarter and a half inch of rain possible. Now, that's a lot of rain. Sunday, showers. It's going to rain all day Sunday, and with a chance of precipitation is 80%. New rain between a half and three quarters of an inch, and the high will be near 62. And Sunday night, mostly cloudy, and just in time for Monday and back to work, mostly sunny with a high near 73. Monday night, partly cloudy with a 52. The rest of the week, as you know, because it's still spring, is always a chance of showers and mostly cloudy during the rest of the week. Are there any hazardous weather outlooks? There really are none. Right now it's 58 degrees here in downtown Flemington, and we're expecting that there may be some flash flooding going on. Now, remember, you hit a flash flood, you come near a stream, or there's a lot of poor drainage somewhere, or there's another problem, turn around. Don't drive through this mess, because you can end up losing your life or getting injured. So it's really important that if you are going to be out and driving in bad weather, that you remember, watch your speed, be careful that cars don't hydroplane. You want to be able to get a real good handle on the weather before you get out. And remember, always dress for the weather. Even there's great clothing out there that will keep you comfortable in warm, rainy, humid weather. I'm a very big believer in dress right and wear the right shoes. So enough of that advice from an old guy. Let's talk some more baseball. How about the Mets? Everybody thought the Mets were not going to be playing well. They're playing in Milwaukee tonight against the Brewers. Remember, the Brewers snuck out of the American League and ended up in the National League. Don't ask me how that happened, but, well, I guess if they could dig up Stalin or Khrushchev and move them around the Kremlin to a less place, from a place of honor to a place otherwise, I guess they could move baseball teams around from one league to another. Steve Matz, Met pitcher I like a lot, who's 3-1, is taking the mound tonight against Brandon Woodruff and the Milwaukee Brewers. I always like the way the Brewers play, like their logo, like their stadium. It's a relatively new stadium, and it's worth watching the game just to see how nice this ballpark is. Saturday night, you've got the Mets' Zach Wheeler, who's at 2-2 with a terrible earned run average of 5.05, pretty bloated, going against the left-hander Gio Gonzalez, who's 0-0 with a 3.60 earned run average. Sunday, we've got Jason Vargas against Zach Davies, and a left-hander going for the Mets against a right-hander. Vargas is 1-1, and Davies is 3-0 for the Brewers. It's kind of interesting. You've got a Midwest team playing in New York, and you've got a New York team playing in the Midwest. So we're seeing a Minnesota team in New York, and we're seeing a New York team in Wisconsin. Kind of fate. Is it kismet? Is it fate? I don't know. Let's watch some baseball, and we'll all have to find out. Meanwhile, we have another commercial break, so let's hit that one.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heide & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Well, and that takes us back to the sports. You know, the Mets have a rookie who's also worth watching in Pete Alonso. Pete Alonso had a wonderful first month as a Major League ball player. He plays first base. He was named NL Rookie of the Month. He hit 9 home runs in April, which tied the franchise record also held by Neil Walker in 06, John Buck in 13, Carlos Delgado in 06, Dave Kingman way back in 1976. And Alonso's 26 RBIs by the end of April were the third most in Major League history for a rookie. He's really making the most of his opportunities, and he played real well in the Mets' 1-0 victory against the Cincinnati Reds last night. Alonso is an excellent first baseman. He's handling the position well. He battled for the job in spring training, and he won the job when he dominated in spring training after a season where he hit 36 home runs in the minor leagues. He works hard. He seems to handle his glove pretty well, and he's doing what he needs to do. The Mets won last night 1-0 against the Cincinnati Reds and behind the pitching of Noah Syndergaard. So we're seeing two decent New York baseball teams for a change, and New York certainly needs that. We're also seeing the Philadelphia Phillies, who have picked up a real star in Bryce Harper, playing well. So we have three good area sports teams, and we're probably going to see the Phillies battling the Nationals once again tonight. And I think that game is actually in Philadelphia. Let's check and see. Yeah, Washington's at Philadelphia, and the first pitch is 7:05. Phillies are going to have a good season. Right now, they're in first place. A game and a half ahead of the Mets, are 17-13. They've gone 5-5 over their last 10 games. They had a little bit of a slip, but they picked up, and they're playing really well. Obviously, the guy to watch for the Phillies is Bryce Harper, who is their right fielder. And also, probably right now, the highest-paid player in baseball. It's interesting that there's some good pitching help out there that are still free agents and haven't been signed, most notably Dallas Keuchel, of the formerly of the Houston Astros, who's basically sitting around waiting to get picked up. So we've got a lot of stuff happening on sports. Let's talk about some of the other things that we should get out of the way. I'm heading down the shore tomorrow. It's going to be one of those work on the boat days. We've got to wash and wax a hull, replace a bilge pump. Owning a boat is a little bit like owning a house, except that, well, it's a little harder for your house to sink. The boat I have is a sailboat. It's a 34-foot Hunter. It's got a mast that I can roll my mainsail in and out of, so I don't have to go up on deck in the ocean. And it also has a foresail or a jib, which rolls up as well. Sailing's a great hobby, and if you are looking to get your feet wet, we have a Hunterdon Sailing Club here that's out on Spruce Run. There are, if you can go to their website, which is just Google Hunterdon Sailing Club, and give them a phone call. You can find out a great deal about this interesting hobby if you want to be out on the water and enjoying yourself. It's not a sport for everybody, but it doesn't have to be the expensive yacht clubby kind of upper crusty sport people think it is. It involves some science, some athleticism, and being out in the fresh air on the water, which is one of my favorite pleasures in life. How did I get into sailing? Well, years and years ago, I had a friend who cut my hair and cut my wife's hair, and he invited us out on this small boat, which was a little Sovereign Princess. It was about 24 feet, and we kind of took to it, my wife and I. It became kind of what we did in the summer when we weren't skiing or working around the house, because my wife and I both decided we needed a hobby that we could share. And the advantage of this was that we both have always loved the outdoors. We've always loved the shore. We've always loved being on the water. So we took a safety course, and we took a boating course down in Annapolis. Then we got to the point where we said to ourselves, you know, we need to buy a boat. And no, nobody needs to buy a boat, but that's what we did, young and foolish as we are. And now fast forward 33, 34 years, we've owned two boats, a number of dinghies, which are inflatable boats that we use to get from when we're anchored to shore and back, or to have dinghy races in, which are kind of fun. And we've been all over the world. We've sailed through the Greek islands. We've sailed all through the Caribbean a number of times, including the Grenadines and the British Virgin Islands. It's interesting the people you meet. It's interesting the experiences you have, because you get to see the world from the water side, whereas most folks get to see it only from the land side. There's a whole culture that goes with being on the water and being a little bit different. We once pulled into a place in the U.S. Virgin Islands, in a place called St. John's, and we dropped an anchor right in front of a, don't know whether it was a bar, a tavern, or a restaurant, but it was open air, and it was called Skinny Legs, and underneath the sign it said, "We're all here because we're not all there," and it seemed like the kind of place where people ended long journeys and then didn't want to leave. They had a bar and probably one of the larger movie screens I have seen that was not in a drive-in theater. And every night after the sun went down, they would light some torches to keep the Caribbean bugs away, and they would show movies. And the movies were interesting. It's an unusual experience, I have to say, to be sipping a margarita at a bar, wearing a T-shirt and shorts, and watching Easy Rider or watching a movie with Bob Dylan in it or Mick Jagger or some other crazy person like that, or some interesting stories. Meanwhile, the moon is bright, the stars are beautiful, and the wind is just right. So that was a neat experience to have. Another one was sailing in the Grenadines. Now, for those of you who don't know, the Grenadines are part of a nation called St. Vincent and the Grenadines. The Grenadines are a series of small islands that start just south of St. Lucia, where, of course, there's a Sandals Resort and all kinds of other cool stuff. But the Grenadines, and particularly St. Vincent, are volcanic islands, and the soil is very rich, so everything grows there. And for many, many years, it was a British colony, and it's now part of the British Commonwealth and part of what's called CARICOM, which means a Caribbean Economic Community. It's a beautiful place. Their exports are things like arrowroot, which creates a powder that's used in making paper that's used in computers, computer paper for printing. They export a lot of bananas and about 20 different varieties. They also have a very neat botanical garden that contains a breadfruit tree that Captain Bligh brought back from Polynesia after his mishaps that resulted in the story of Mutiny on the Bounty, which is a true story. I've actually tasted breadfruit from that tree, and surprisingly, breadfruit makes excellent potato salad. It tastes just like it. The other neat thing about St. Vincent is that it's got a beautiful coastline on the west side and a very rough Atlantic Ocean-swept coast on the east side. So people tend to go surfing on the eastern side, but do their sailing and their land visits mostly on the west side. A lot of small towns, it's very rural, it's very quiet. They have wonderful music. They have a very lively music scene, particularly on Saturday nights when they have something called a jump up and everybody gets up and dances, and some very unusual dancing and some unusual singing you ordinarily wouldn't expect. Popular singers here in the U.S. like Jimmy Buffett and Bob Marley have popularized a good deal of that type of music. But to hear the real stuff, you might want to go Google a guy by the name of Alston Beckett Cyrus, who is considered to be one of the best musicians ever to come out of St. Vincent. He routinely performs at the Caribbean Music Fest in New York, and he's also been one of my favorites. So Alston Beckett Cyrus, if you want some interesting island music. I recently had dinner with a friend who is from what used to be called British Guiana and is now called Guiana, which is on the east coast of South America, just north of Brazil and just south of Venezuela. And from Guiana comes a man by the name who calls himself Mighty Sparrow. He's about 80 now, but he's been a famous Caribbean singer for many years. And again, Google him or look for him or Alston Beckett Cyrus on either Google or YouTube and turn up your speakers because you'll be in for a treat. Moving along here, we've got another commercial break coming right up, and I'll be right back at you in a moment. This is Bill Wolfson, and I'm the sports guy today.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
And let me put in a personal word for Randy Block. Randy's been my friend and somebody I've always valued for his opinion and his personal integrity as a coin dealer and as a friend. Randy's helped a number of my family members with coin collections and also valuing them and helped them guide them with some investments that they've made into coins as well. So Randy Block, Rob Coins, I hope if you have a need, you check him out. He's a good guy.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there! you?
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Well, we're back with the Sports Guys. I'm Bill Wolfson. I'm the solo today. John Manfreda is on our injured reserve list, and Patricia Garrity-Smith is down in the Caribbean in the Dominican Republic attending a American Bar Association Family Lawyers Convention. Pat, I'm John. Here's a shout-out. Hope wherever you are, things are going well and getting better for you. You know how much I love baseball stories, especially when they have to do with my favorite baseball team, the New York Yankees. And for those of you who are got nothing better to do on a Sunday, there's commemorative bat day at 105 at Yankee Stadium, where they're going to be giving away 1999 World Champion commemorative bats. Now, I hope they give them on the way out rather than on the way in, because I sure would not want to see a bunch of fans going after each other with these bats. But, you know, it is the Bronx, and it's a good thing to have on your way back to your car or on the subway. Meanwhile, the New York Post had an interesting article today about Tahiro Estrada, who it was a gunshot victim back in 2018. He was minding his own business down in his home country of Venezuela, and he was shot in the right thigh during a robbery attempt. And he wasn't involved in the robbery. He's an innocent victim of a terrible event. But nothing seemed to overwhelm him. He made a good rehab. The Yanks draft pick Corey Valentine, I'm sorry, Giants draft pick Corey Valentine was shot in Topeka, Kansas, and his good friend Dwayne Simmons was killed during the same event. The thing with Estrada is he rehabbed from this shooting, and he offered some very insightful comments that I'd like to share, and how he worked harder to become a success even after such a terrible thing happened to him. One of the things that we know about baseball is that it's a sport of failure. If you hit 3 times out of 10, that means you failed 7 times. But if you hit 3 times out of 10 and get on base, you're going to end up in the Hall of Fame. And this makes baseball all about overcoming adversity. But when you're injured because of a gunshot or some other terrible crime, it makes a comeback all the more interesting and all the more compelling. What kept Estrada going through these very difficult times? And here's a quote. When you go through something like that, he told the New York Post or a translator, the first thing you want to be thankful for is being alive. It's a dangerous situation. So this is kind of like a second chance in life that you get. That's how I looked at it, a second chance. And once you understand that, you begin to believe in yourself. These are powerful words from a 23-year-old man, and the key here is always belief. When you survive a dangerous incident or some real trouble in life, you soon realize that there's a deeper meaning and purpose to your life, which is to overcome. You have to believe in yourself, both as an athlete or as any other type of individual. And you've got to focus and understand that once you're injured that badly or you have some other setback to come back from, that the recovery is going to be long. But if you focus on it, you can get through it and definitely come back and be effective as a player or as a person in life. Once third baseman Miguel Andujar returns, Estrada could find himself back at AAA Scranton-Wilkes-Barre. But certainly he's opened eyes around the Yankees and baseball with itself with his all-around ability. In the first four games and with a plate appearance, he reached base safely. Right now he's hitting .333, and he's shown an ability to do all the little things right, like going down and letting down a key bunt. Bunting in baseball is a lost art, in my opinion, and anybody who can put down a good bunt is certainly going to be a valuable player, particularly when infielders play back on very hard, almost rocky grass on an infield. A lot of this has to do with knowing the guys in your locker room, Estrada said, because he had a good comfort level with the Yanks. From the moment you walk in, you see friendly faces. They set the tone and atmosphere at Yankee Stadium and allow you to relax and play the game. So it's like coming home. In that way, there was no added pressure for a young player. That could be one of the reasons for his success. The accidental Yankees who filled in so well during all of these weeks when the Yankees' star players have been injured. Going through the different levels in the Yankee organization, he credits a lot of his excellent coaches. He said that they took the time and with me to show me and help me improve, and I focus on those teaching moments to learn and improve. Then it all comes back to his statement about getting a second chance to excel and making the most of his baseball life. Folks, every one of us has setbacks in life. Every one of us has gotten knocked down. But as somebody once said, it's not how many times you get knocked down, it's how many times you get back up. And certainly with this young man, he's shown that it's a good thing, a great thing to be able to get back up after a serious injury like this. As you know from reading the sports, and I think of sports as a metaphor for life, the New York Football Giants draft choice, Ballantyne, was shot out in Topeka, Kansas, as I mentioned before. And he's now going to have a road to recovery as well. And hopefully, because he's a young, healthy man, he's going to heal quickly. And maybe we'll get to see him play some football, hopefully in the preseason or if he makes the team during the regular NFL season. Sports is certainly a metaphor for life. No matter what sport you play, whether it's tennis, golf, baseball, football, hockey, or what you love, if it's some other sport. I recently had the pleasure of taking up kickboxing. I've gone twice down at Health Quest, and as you may know, I've been rehabbing for about 10, 11 months for having some heart problems and having a cardiac stent installed in my chest. And you know, I want some medication, and I've been told basically get a lot of exercise and don't worry and don't stress out. Easy thing to do, to say and hard to do, no matter what you do. And I've also been told to go on a diet. And the diet basically boils down to if I like it, I can't put it in my mouth. So I've been watching what I eat. I'm dropping weight, but I took up kickboxing. I have gone to two sessions, no chest pain. The exercise is wonderful. You basically wrap your hands in cloth wraps. You put on some boxing gloves, and to music and to an instructor's training, you just punch and kick your way through an hour. It's a really good workout. It gets your heart rate up. It gets your lungs breathing. And it gets out a lot of the tension and anger and stress. Very cathartic kind of thing. I encourage anybody to check out the Health Quest kickboxing class, 7 p.m. Monday nights. The instructor is Irene, and I'm going to give a shout-out to Irene and to her boxing club down at Top Dog Boxing. Top Dog has been on our show about a year ago. they came on and talked about boxing here in New Jersey and here in Hunterdon County. Now, where is Top Dog? Top Dog is out on Route 20231 where the driving range used to be. And they're generally open nights and weekends, and you can go and watch people box or maybe put on the gloves yourself and with a good trainer learn how to safely enjoy the sport that's called the sweet science. I will tell you that I grew up in a house where I had not one but two grandfathers that were huge boxing fans, and we routinely argue over who the greatest boxers were in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. It's interesting. It's an interesting sport. Some people think it's terrible. It's brutal. It's violent. It's fighting. But there's also some science to it, and there's some art to it as well. And I'd like to talk a little bit more about some of the changes we're seeing in sports as we get more and more into the future. You've noticed that there has been a lot of discussion over sports teams' symbols and logos and things like that. And again, there was some discussion of what's politically correct, what's a good logo, what's not so good of a logo. I think things like the Cleveland Indians and the Washington Redskins are kind of offensive, and I know that there's been a push to get rid of those teams. Recently, both the New York Yankees and the Philadelphia Flyers decided that they would part ways with the late Kate Smith because she had many, many, many years ago, in addition to singing God Bless America, sang a song that had racist lyrics. She's been gone for a long time. She's done many, many good things, including during World War II, raising war bonds to fight fascism, whether in Germany or Japan or Italy. And she delivered a 1945 radio address denouncing racial and religious intolerance and bigotry. And unfortunately, that was ignored. Meanwhile, let's move out to the West Coast, where Cal State Long Beach suddenly put to death a suddenly inappropriate on-campus regular, a fictional character named Prospector Pete, the school's mascot since it opened in 1949. Now, Prospector Pete was an emblem of the California Gold Rush, and he was removed from prominent view, and he's now disappeared because they believe that this was a symbol of a time in history when the indigenous people of California were subjected to violence and genocide, with threats of genocide. You have to wonder how many more of these are going to be replaced. It's an interesting thing, an interesting phenomenon to see. I think as time goes on and people become, I guess the word is woke, to these things, they become a little bit more sensitive. People become a little bit more sensitized to these things. But the question is, do you want to bury the past? Do you want to eliminate the past, or do you want to accept the past despite the problems and the undesirable things that occurred? I mean, certainly we've had a terrible, dark history in this country that ended with the Civil War, slavery, and problems thereafter where people of minorities were treated as second and third class citizens and taken unfair advantage of. And in America, we're all equal. All men have been created equal, and women. So we want to be fair. But the question is, should history be buried? And should the history in the sporting world be buried? I'm not so sure. I happen to like tradition. I happen to like the idea of symbols, and I happen to like the idea that there's a respect for the past, even though it might not have been perfect. I think of the accomplishments and the brilliance of people like Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, George Washington, and I judge them by their times rather than by our times. It's an interesting thing. I see how this is going to continue with sports. You always have to wonder about the reaction to it. History is a funny thing. I don't know how many of you out there read 1984 when you were in high school or college. It's a book by George Orwell with a very, very dangerous and frightening idea of the future, where the world is divided into three socialist countries. And history exists or disappears based on what government wants and what government decides, and you have no say in it. And there's a character in 1984 called Winston Smith. And Winston Smith works in the Ministry of Truth, which is really a propaganda ministry. And it's his job to make things that the state does not like disappear. It's his job to remove all reference to them in history, to take them out of newspapers, to take them out of magazines or off the radio, and to make sure that nobody remembers things that the state does not want them to remember. Now, we don't have a state itself here in America doing that, but we are finding that there is more and more tension and more difficulty with people who may not always share the same beliefs. And I'm a big believer in tolerance and live and let live when it doesn't affect me or those I care about or those that should be protected by the law. And I'm big on fairness, and I don't understand why there's a need to have so much change and such rapid change. The internet is a large and very mysterious place to me. I find that the supposed anonymity of the internet is something that is really kind of a sham in a way, because we can find out who's on, where they're dealing from because of an internet address called an IP that's unique to one person or another. And suddenly we've seen a number of websites and a number of internet service providers or search engines, if you want to call them that, beginning to talk about identity protection. And you have to wonder, because a lot of the information, if we go on the Yankee website, suddenly, which I do just about every morning, suddenly I'm getting all kinds of pop-ups for tickets to Yankee Stadium, or maybe I need a new Yankee hat, although I probably have five or six of them, or a new Yankee T-shirt, and only my wife knows quite how many I have, but it's a very interesting phenomenon for those of us who love sports. Let's say that you want to get a late-night ice hockey score from the West Coast. You want to see how the Vancouver Canucks did against the Calgary Flames in Calgary. Suddenly, I was getting offers of hotel rooms in Calgary, whether I'd like to attend the Calgary Stampede or some other interesting things like that. I know we're getting near the top of the hour, and it's almost 6 o'clock, so I will play our last spot, and then we're going to wish everybody a great evening and get up off that couch, and I'm heading for my boat tomorrow.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Burke.
www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Well, we're waiting for the loop to rewind and come on. This is Bill Wolfson wishing everybody a great weekend. Get up off that couch and stay dry.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
It looks like Attorney General William Barr is not going to show up.